Welcome to part two of our interview with Yousef Tilly about dark magic. When someone is in this situation and someone who cares about them or even themselves when they're in a conscious state are reaching out for help, trying to look back on their choices and go, you know, this is something I shouldn't have done. I should not have essentially, without realizing it, sold my soul for vengeful purposes. Is there any way to reverse such a thing? Take back that choice or decision?
As far as I know, no, but there may be some. From conversations I've had with the white magician, there seems to be a certain legal and financial framework that operates also within the within the other dimensions where all these creatures live. So they too act on a basis of contract, and there's a fair exchange, or what is agreed upon, the terms of what, you know, what will be exchanged and how it will be exchanged. So I suppose that in some way, while it is binding, and in the same like in our world, there probably are exit clauses to our contracts, perhaps they are there also, but it would be speculation on my side to say that to make a definitive yes or no.
Sure. It sounds like a power that's beyond the living. Another thing that you had mentioned, something in disguise, something that, or an individual or a role that an individual plays, that is one of trust, is one of caring, that would be that of a priest. And you had mentioned something about a demon that ends up inhabiting a priest, pretending to be one. Can you talk about that case?
That's the same case we're talking about from a different perspective.
Oh, really?
Okay, so these are all the different angles.
Oh,
that we are,
wow,
talking about.
Okay, well, let's hear that angle of the story.
Good. Yeah, I thought you'd be quite interested in seeing the many different perspectives they were, because they quite reflect the same kind of structure we have in the life that we live.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's quite, and then we're all living in the same world, but everybody comes from a different perspective, which I suppose is one of the ways in which you could probably validate that there is a sort of similarity between what these other creatures are saying, how life operates, as compared to how we know life operates. It seems that there's a consistency in nature. I mean, of course, that could also work the other way around, where it actually is really a load of bollocks, where somebody's projecting what they know about of the world today onto what would be an interdimensional creature. And that question is a very difficult thing to answer, because you really have to make up your mind for yourself. You've got to be there to be able to feel what's going on. But I suppose to answer your question, this particular demon, when I interviewed him for many, many nights about his life and his backstory and so on, he himself was a sort of rebel. About 400 to 500 kilometers from Johannesburg, there's a set of mountains, a famous set of mountains called the Drakensberg. Now, there are many stories of ghosts and other weird creatures that that haunt the place. And one of the famous stories that comes from there is about an old man who hitchhikes on the side of the road in the middle of the night. When a car passes by and they see this old man, and, you know, many people stop in order to help. So when he gets into the car, he says that he's been abandoned and he needs to get to the next city and so on. And as they drive along, the people suddenly realize that the old man has disappeared from there. And there are such stories that that are very common to that area. Now, the Jinni who was possessing this particular woman comes from that area, speaks that particular language, and he says that his tribe, which is how they arrange themselves in communities, are situated in that area. They have been for thousands of years. But he didn't quite like the type of lifestyle that they were living there, where it was always, you know, keeping to themselves, when he thought that actually there was a world of opportunity that was left to explore. So part of their education is, as a journey, is to have skills in effecting the magical skills to survive everyday life, which helps them to eat and which helps them to navigate, which helps them to communicate, which helps them to travel great distances in short spaces of time and so on, so that they can undertake duties that the tribe wants of them. So the tribe really was quite insular. Once you were in, then you served the needs of the tribe, and he himself thought that he really wasn't quite up for the job. So he ran away. And when he did, he had these skills, but was still floating around looking for something to do. And that's when he met they call them pandits. They are a particular kind of person that has certain magical skills. They're normal people, and they usually appear as priests, but and possibly even have congregations, but they do have access to magical skills. So this genie went out in search of these kind of people, and eventually found himself with one of these people, who then told him that, yes, okay, I could give you a job in order to do hurt people and, you know, do whatever you need to do according to what's required. But of course, in order for the pandit to give the genie a job, that was a specific contact that they had between themselves. And what the genie hadn't realized was that he too had sold himself short. So he was more a slave at the hands of an experienced pandit, whereas he was just a young, fresh genie out there in the world. And he had acquired, when I interviewed him the many times I had asked him, and he had acquired the sense of cynicism about life and the world. So in many ways, he also fitted the case quite well.
Is it easy for someone, I mean, it probably depends on the personality, but for someone to identify if they are, in fact, or if they have an attachment of some sort, so one of these jinns attached to them, is there any signs? Is there a sense of self-awareness to anyone, for example, this priest, that wait a second, this is not my character, this is not me? Or is there not that self-awareness when these sort of things attach onto an individual?
From the many signs, I suppose one of the most common was that people feel a certain pressure on their chest, especially when they're sleeping, and they feel as if something is sitting on their chest, and that's probably one of the most common ones. Another one is a lapses in rationality, in which people feel that they fall unconscious while they are still operating and then can't remember what they were doing prior to that. So then they're not sure why they're dealing with some consequences when in fact they're quite sure that they didn't do something, when in fact actually there's ample evidence that they actually had. I've listened to some cases in which people have said that they felt someone having sex with them in the night, but obviously, I mean, physically nobody was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also other similar symptoms, like when the genies arrive, the temperature in the room drops quite dramatically. There's also people find themselves grinding their teeth a lot, which is obviously which the genie told me was a means by which they communicate. And those sort of little things that actually happen.
I guess my question for a lot of these symptoms that you're listing off, how does one decipher that this is a genie and not just some sort of underlying medical condition? Because these are symptoms of many other legitimate medical problems.
Absolutely. The truth is, I can't actually make out the difference. From the white magician's perspective, and I suppose from the black magician's perspective too, they strongly lean. They look at many of these symptoms in such a way that they not only recognize them but know what the source is. Mm-hmm. So they have a much more vested interest in what those things mean, and also a much more steadfast belief in journeys and interdimensional creatures and so on.
From the perspective, go ahead.
Yeah.
You on the other hand, go ahead.
Yeah, me on the other hand, I don't look at it that way. I followed all these cases quite subjectively. So for me, it remained a question mark. that actually maybe there isn't really a thing such as the devil. Maybe it is just a sense of unconsciousness that befalls people in such a way that they do really lose themselves to quite a bit. It doesn't necessarily have to be a mental disease, but I think that people do go through such extreme situations of stress and so on that actually they do lose a sense of touch with themselves or even with reality.
Sure.
And that's one of the reasons why they do things like that.
Sure, and they can sometimes act in erratic ways. And I'm not in any way saying that none of this is true or not real. I mean, the topic of our show is obviously discussing paranormal events. It's just, it's more so identifying which ones are, in fact, something that is paranormal and supernatural intervening into our world, and which ones are legitimate medical issues that need attention. When you have what is defined as a magician there that is involved in these cases, and let's say some of these symptoms are being reported, the pressure on the chest, the grinding of the teeth. Do the magicians immediately go to the conclusion that this is, in fact, a genie that is affecting the individual? Or do they take the moment to identify that possibly this is sleep paralysis that someone is experiencing with the pressure on the chest, or they have an overbite or some sort of issue that they'd be grinding their teeth because of? Does the assumption immediately go to that of supernatural?
Never.
No?
Okay. So the is never.
Okay.
Okay. So they always listen to the backstory first.
Good.
And they also investigate all of those. They also verify the information first before they even come close to doing a diagnosis themselves. But the determining factor to decide whether someone is possessed by some sort of creature that we cannot see is that the magicians themselves have their own genies. Genies who are, I suppose, interested in doing good rather than evil.
Okay.
Or rather helping people or helping other creatures rather than hurting them. So they're also in contact with interdimensional creatures who then actually go and look for, you know, to see if something is there. The ultimate verification is that.
It's interesting that, I mean, the term genie, is it almost, would you say, interchangeable with how in Western society we refer to things as ghosts or the good spirits, bad spirits, if you will? Because I can see a correlation where some will go, well, if there's something good that happened or something, you know, out of the ordinary, almost intervention-wise, like I decided I should just stop my car and not go through that intersection, even though it's a green light, and something just told me to do that, so I did. And if I had gone through, I would have gotten hit. And in a lot of Western society, it'll be looked at as, oh, well, that was a guardian angel of some sort. And then sometimes when there's something very negative that someone embarks upon, that can be like, oh, that's it could be a negative spirit. It could be, your good angel, bad angel on your shoulders. Is that almost the same way, jinn being being used in the same way as good spirit, bad spirit, as they would in Western society?
Very similar, yes.
Okay.
And I think what it really is really a common structure that we have in terms of many different types of sociologies, religions, cults, and so on, where they see a certain structure in the way that there is good, there is evil, a god, and a Satan, and different kinds of creatures that fall on either side of it. And I suppose in that way, people make up their minds as to what's good and what's bad anyway, because that is a relative concept.
Sure.
You know, depending on which culture you go to.
The terminology is just one of those things that I know sometimes can throw people and go, oh, that sounds really exotic and different than a ghost. In a lot of ways, it's the same thing. It's just termed in a different word.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
But the structure remains the same exactly as you say.
Okay. And that I think is important to clear up when we talk about these things from various parts of the world and different cultures, where a lot of us are experiencing, and it's the same sort of things. They're dealt with certainly in different ways, and a lot of it's based on societal norms and what is accepted. But when you look at the structure of how things are functioning, it's very, very similar, if not the exact same thing. It's just how it's identified. In your research from going into this and kind of initially feeling like, well, this sounds interesting, somewhat ridiculous, and now having followed that individual for 4 years and witnessing these things, personally to you, what has changed in your belief system about what you've witnessed and about the concept of someone being possessed or taken over by a negative genie? How has that affected you?
For me, the journey has led me to quite an interesting realization that actually, instead of focusing on who are what are interdimensional creatures and what types of magic are out there and so on, the real thing behind it is actually simply developing a sense of awareness about what's happening to yourself. Eventually, that's actually what was one of the largest factors that actually helped us to cure this woman during the exorcism. So when she began taking charge of her own life, when she began actually also actively participating in taking a responsibility for what she was, what sort of adverse effects she was creating in her own life, that already went leaps and bounds into freeing her from the control of some type of genie. And that's when I realized that actually, maybe possession does play some part of it if these creatures do exist, because certainly I haven't seen one, even though I've been surrounded by the magic for quite some time. But I think actually a sense of awareness about where you are, what you are doing, and also how you are acting, well, really is the one simple ingredient that can help you to not just protect yourself from all sorts of different things, but also to lead your life in the way that you want. And for me, that was the lesson, really.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Yusef Tilly about dark magic. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.